We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Once you find your Bibles this evening, and there's no handout and there's no PowerPoint, and some of you are not going to know what to do. But you can find your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you can hold your place there. We'll be coming back there in just a few moments. And then you can go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. When we come to the table of remembrance, we come for several reasons. Obviously, the very name itself speaks to the essence of why we're here. We come to remember. The point of remembering is to recall with purpose and intentionality something that perhaps has been forgotten or that needs to be back in the forefront of our thinking. I think the reality is that we all have the tendency to be somewhat forgetful, even on the best of days. Would you say amen to that? I know that it's easy to forget things, but it's very easy in the Christian life to forget what Christ has done for us. And this is why we have communion, and this is why this coming year there'll be a little more frequency, and we try to do it more on a Sunday morning and make it more of a special time, because it's easy to forget. Even on the best of days, it's easy to forget. And so tonight I have simply entitled the message, A Call to Come Back to the Cross. A call to come back to the cross. And when you read the text that we're about to look at in Ephesians, everything surrounding it deals with the sacrifice of Christ, his sacrifice that took place on the cross. And in fact, the songs that we were singing about tonight, and even during communion, there'll be some new songs, some special songs that Pastor Chad will be doing that deals with our sin and the death of Christ on the cross, and the fact that what Christ did made us a part of his family. We were singing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the what? Family of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. Notice this phrase, so making what, church? Peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. And how did he do it? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. In a service such as this, there would be no way for me to possibly exegete everything that is here and adequately explain this text and unravel it the way that I would perhaps like to and unpack it. But I think the reality of this verse and these verses should cause us to not only celebrate what Christ has done, because while it is a table of commemoration and we commemorate what is happening, we also come and we celebrate. And aren't you happy and grateful tonight for the cross of Christ? Amen. Thankful for what God has done. In the same manner, we come also and we consider, we remember all that took place on the cross and the reality that now is ours based on the text. And so I want to give us three things tonight before we come to the table as a family. Number one, the cross made peace with God. The cross made peace with God. It's a good day in your life, and it's a good day in my life the moment you realize that the wrath of God is no longer abiding on you. Amen? That we can be called the friend of God. The cross then becomes our defense. It is what we cling to and is what we run to. And we need to remember tonight that without the cross, we are doomed and destined for hell and without help. Prior to leaving England, I did an extensive name search on the name Adams. Now, I know that a lot of you think that we came from the Adams family, but I'm here to tell you tonight that we actually did not. I wanted to find a coat of arms and colors that would signify and identify us, and I had always been intrigued, and when I knew that we were leaving England, I said, I want to do this research, and so there was a particular gentleman that I looked into, and we talked and met, and went to him, and he began to do some research, asked me a lot of questions, and we found out that our name is mostly of Scottish descent. It used to be McAdams, but when a lot of the Scots began to migrate down into England, they feared the English, and so they dropped anything that sounded Scottish, and so a lot of names were shortened, Adams being one of them. It used to be McAdams. The man who was helping me in the research began to ask me a series of questions, and he said, "So tell me, what do you know about your family?" And I said, "Well, I don't know a whole lot." I said, "I do know that my great-grandfather on my mother's side was a pastor. He traveled a lot. He was in mission work and very high up, an earned doctorate degree, very wise." He said, "Well, what does your father do?" I said, "Well, my father's a pastor." And he started doing that, He said, "Well, what is it that you do, sir?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually a pastor." And he took his glasses off and he looked up from his desk and he had this great big book open and two computer screens. And he said, "Come here, I think I have found your coat of arms and what your name means." And he spun me around and we looked at this book and looked at these screens. And our coat of arms, it's hanging in our house and the name and everything that goes with it. And I actually did this for Pastor Chad and Pastor Micah when I went back to England just recently. But he pulled it up onto the screen, and it was a shield. And on the shield was a cross. And in the center of the cross was a heart. And written in Latin and scrolled around the shield were the words translated into English, "In the cross is safety. In the cross is safety." It took me a while for that to sink in. And as I was penning this message, I began to think, this isn't just our coat of arms, but it is the reality for all who understand what the cross means, friends. Because for all of us tonight, in the cross is safety. Amen? It is in the cross that is our defense. It is in the cross that we find our safety. It is in the cross that we have to claim our justification. The peace we have with God is all because of what Christ did on the cross, providing salvation and safety to all who believe. And so we remember tonight as we come to the table that we all got here the same way. God doesn't have any favorites. He loves us all the same. Did you know that? And we all get, how'd you get here? By the same way you got here, by the blood of Jesus Christ and because of the cross work of Jesus. Amen? We all get to the table the same way. We come and we now have, according to the text, peace with God. Secondly tonight, the cross provided a way for us to have what I call healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. So much about tonight is family, and sadly a lot of churches have gotten so traditionalistic that they have made this something that really it was never intended to be. If you study communion services in the scriptures, you'll find things being done very differently than the way many churches do. I'm glad that we're not necessarily caught up in that, but there is a danger that we can get stuck in that and lose the sense of what the service is all about. Everything begins and ends at the cross. And what we realize is that salvation makes us right with God. And so there's this vertical aspect where we are now right with God vertically. And because we can be right with God vertically, that means that we can be right with all of the relationships in our life horizontally. But let me just parenthetically say this, that if this relationship is not right, then these relationships will not be right. And so much of the material on the market today, I was at the Christian bookstore over the weekend, and 10 ways to do this, and 5 ways to do this, and how to be this, and 5 this, and 6 of these, and 10 of these, and 12 of these. And there's very little books on this. Because when this is right, yes, those 5 and 12 and 6 things and 7 things, they're useful and helpful for sure, but they don't really work unless this is right. And we can spend our life doing this all the time, but if this isn't right, then these are never right. You see, and God made a way at the cross, as Chad was singing, "I'll find a way." God made the way so that we could be right with one another. God's gift, Jesus, on the cross, allows us to have healthy relationships with those in our immediate family and especially those within the family of God. Now, the truth is, many times our relationships are anything but healthy. In fact, as I was sharing with the church this morning about the book that I had read over the weekend, many churches we would say are sick. And they're not healthy. The sheep inside the pasture are not healthy. And many times that's because the shepherd himself is sick. And sick shepherds do not lead very healthy sheep. And so tonight, as we get ready to come to the communion table, I want to challenge two groups of people in here tonight. First of all, I want to speak to the married couples. The cross means that your marriage is not dependent upon what you bring to the table. Many couples feel, you know, well, I'm the better half of this marriage. I mean, who wouldn't want to be married to me, right? Look what I bring. My wit, my charm, my good looks, my money, my great job, my education, my awesome Christian upbringing. And we have this mentality that we actually think we're the better part of the marriage. And that if, you know, something were to ever happen, well, then it would be the other spouse's fault, not ours. Your marriage is solely dependent upon God's grace. Solely dependent upon the mercy and love that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, we look at marriage today so very differently than the way God intended it. So many of us have gotten married and we come to realize that marriage is spelled W-O-R-K. You see, God brings two people together in the act of marriage to show that one sinful person and another sinful person can live under the same roof because of God's love, grace, and mercy. And we show a lost world that two people can actually function together in union to bring glory to God. Your marriage is only going to bring glory to God when both husband and wife die to self and seek ways in which they can serve one another. And I will tell you, this is not natural. We don't naturally like to serve. It's something we have to learn to do. It's a learned discipline. But it is supernatural. You see, your love for each other, your love that you have for your spouse, how many of you know what I mean when I say sometimes it can run dry? And some of you are not as passionate about your spouse as you used to be when you got married, and you think, well, I told her I loved her on my wedding day, that's good enough. When your love runs dry in your marriage, let me tell you what you're going to need to tap into and realize that you can never turn it off again, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. Because the love of Jesus Christ not only has to kick in your marriage, it has to completely and utterly take over your marriage and stay that way. You see, both husband and wife need to be Christ in the relationship. Yes, husbands have the primary responsibility. We understand this as men. We should understand this, that we have the primary responsibility of being the lead role, the lead example in this. But both of us, husband and wives, are called to be submitted to Jesus Christ and then to each other. It is only then that we understand our role in relationship in the marriage. First the vertical, then the horizontal. Husbands are to set the tone. You see, the functionality of our marriage, listen carefully, it revolves around the cross. Because in your marriage, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find days when you and your spouse disagree with each other. Don't look shocked. You know it's true. You're going to find days where it's hard to find a kind word. It's hard. It's hard to speak love. It's hard. You're going to find that in the stressors of life and in the difficulties of marriage, there's moments of weakness, moments of challenge, moments where you're tempted to say or do something that you know you will regret. And what do you do when you have that? You just tap into your own little love bank that you somehow have filled up with some kind of warm, fuzzy emotion? No, I tell you what you do. You turn and you face the cross and you see love, grace, and mercy flowing down into your life. And you turn to your spouse and say, let's face the cross together and learn to love each other through this. That's what you do. You allow the love and mercy of God that has been showed to you to be shown to your spouse. And you seek ways to forgive each other and to love each other. And that then transcends right down into the children and into the whole family. And then I would speak tonight not just to the married couples, but I would speak to the church. And I would say that the same principle applies. You see, every relationship in this church needs to be seen through the lens of the cross of Christ. I have often found that we want people to be gracious to us when we are not often gracious to other people. We want people to give us the benefit of the doubt when we often do not give the benefit of the doubt. We want people to treat us a certain way, but we are often then not prepared to extend that same offer of love and grace and mercy to others. When you face the cross in a church, and as a church, and as the family of God, we all come together. And the family of God only function as God intends for us to function when we forgive one another. I should let you in on a secret. At some point, while you are here at this church, someone in this church, I'm just warning you, could hurt your feelings. Did you guys know that? Somebody just, and it might be the pastor, you know? I might walk by you and not shake your hand, and you're like, I knew it, I quit. He got up this morning, and that was his whole agenda, to blow right past me. That was, I planned it that way. Did you not know that? I said, who can I offend this morning when I walk by them? You know, as believers in Christ, what we have to realize is that we are to be tenderhearted, kind, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, what? Hath forgiven you. And that's what we do. See, the church ought to be a window to where a lost world can peer into the window and say, oh, that's what a family looks like. That's how a family operates. They extend love and grace and mercy. And they forgive one another. You see, the church at Corinth was imploding because they had forgotten the cross of Christ. And they were making a mockery of the communion table and a mockery of everything that Christ had stood for. And so as you come to the table of remembrance tonight, it's important to take stock in your relationships and ask yourself, am I harboring sin towards somebody? Am I nursing a grudge? Am I bitter? And if the answer to that question and many others like it is yes, then I would challenge you tonight, face the cross. See the love and the grace and the mercy. And ask God to soften your heart and set you apart from indifference. And don't harbor anything in your heart tonight. And make it right. And then come sweetly to the Lord's table and say, thank you, Jesus, for the body. And thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Amen? And then, lastly, the cross is not just peace with God. And the cross is not just provided so we can have healthy relationships. But the cross is what we are to preach. And this is the text that I read to us tonight from Ephesians. It's also echoed again in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And our churches are in big trouble when we stop preaching about the cross and the blood and the body that was sacrificed. Now, you might be thinking tonight, well, Pastor, I have to tell you, I'm not a preacher. Well, the reality is this. We are all to be preaching the gospel with our life. Some of us just happen to have what I call and what the scriptures call a call to do this on our life. Something that we have committed to. Something that we do full time. And there is a big difference in ministry between pastoring and preaching. And my prayer as I pastor this church, I often ask God to help me be balanced, because some churches have a good pastor but not a good preacher, and some churches have a good preacher but not a good pastor, and my heart is to be balanced right in between. And there's a big difference in preaching and pastoring. And we who have been given the gospel have a responsibility to proclaim that gospel, to share our faith, and to point people to the cross. But here's the problem. That is not very fun or exciting or pleasant sometimes. Sometimes it's the last thing we want to do, and so we often try to cook up cool ways to make the gospel look cute and neat and interesting. Church, I would remind us tonight that the cross is the only hope for man. The only hope. And until we are convinced of that, we will often have little enthusiasm to share the good news with people. Yes, preaching of the cross sometimes means stepping behind a pulpit. I call it the sacred desk. Maybe it's a lectern. Maybe it's breaking the bread with little ones. But more often than not, here is what I have found the preaching of the cross to look like. While we may stand behind a pulpit, really, the preaching of the cross comes through in how we care for people, how we love people, especially those who we don't think deserve it. I want to share something with the church. It's not pleasant, but you should know this. Several weeks ago, our facility over the last few years prior to us occupying it and since we have occupied it has been used by the local community. Mike Fasano's office comes and they use the grounds, the property of the church, to give away food around Thanksgiving. Some of you may have read about this or seen it in the paper. And this year, it was no exception. However, this year, the lines were unusually long, the crowds were unusually restless, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people crawling all over the property. We determined that we didn't want to open the doors because we knew that if we did, there would be a mad rush inside of the facility. Unfortunately, that plan did not go so well, and Pastor Micah was here and opened the door, and by the time he turned around, 20 people were pushing on him to get into the facility. We were having some work done on this back building here, and the electrician set off the alarm. Not knowing what to do, he opened the side door, and there was another rush of people into the building. And when I tell you that they came into the building, it wasn't as if they came in respectfully or reverently. They came in very rude, very loud, very rambunctious, and very angry. I later found out that sometime during Friday night, while people were waiting to get into the facility or waiting to pick up their food on Saturday morning, a group of individuals had gone up these concrete stairs and had defecated on the property. I have to tell you that I had an array of emotions. I was talking with my family about it. I talked to the staff and then the pastoral staff about it. I thought to myself, what kind of person would do that to a church property when you're trying to help them? They came into our bathrooms in the front building and stole things out of the ladies' room. They purposely drained out the hand towels and clogged up the toilets on purpose. And then did unmentionable things in the staircase. And I thought to myself, we're trying to help you. Why would you do this? What kind of person does that? And God in his own kind way said, the kind of person I went to the cross for. You're that kind of person, Todd. And how dare you question my love for people like that? They need the gospel just as much as you do. And I'm reminded that were it not for the grace of God, there go you or I. You see, we realize that the only hope for people is the cross. And tonight, we remember what Christ did on the cross. For mighty is the power of the cross. I love the song. It sums it up well as I close. What can take a dying man and raise him up to life again? What can heal a wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the holy cross where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. What restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead the wayward home? What can melt a heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save and overcome? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the holy cross where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. Do you believe that tonight? May we tonight remember the cross. May we be reminded tonight that as we partake in the cross, that we have peace with God now. That we can have right and wholesome and healthy relationships. And that it is the cross that we are called to preach. It is the cross that will change lives. It is the cross that makes a difference. And we come back to the cross again and again and again. Because it was Christ's body that was broken and his blood that was shed. And he made salvation possible. And as we tonight get ready to enter into this new year, let us strive to be a cross-centered, Christ-centered, gospel driven church.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.